Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to the one and only Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, final show of the week, Packers-Bears is Sunday, a noon Central Time kickoff at Soldier Field. And as we come to the conclusion of the week, we like to talk about keys to victory for Green Bay. So let's start on the offensive side of the ball. What do you got for me?
You know, it actually goes back to a conversation that Randall Cobb was having with reporters earlier this week. And my key to the game is really reflected off of that. And he mentioned one of the things that he feels he really needs to do a better job of here in the second half of the season is breaking tackles. And the what kind of gets generated off of that, the momentum, the energy, that's such a big play, not only for an offense, but demoralizing to a defense. And I think when you go back, I didn't really think about it until he mentioned it, you go back to some of the best Packer offenses over time, regardless of if it was Aaron Rodgers or Matt Flynn, whoever at quarterback, it was really those receivers and skill position players being able to make that first guy miss. That has been something I think has been missing at times in this point of the season. So really, if you can turn that around, beginning against what has been a pretty darn good defense against Chicago, I really think that is something that could snowball for this offense. And certainly, as Cobb said, it's something he's putting on him and Jordy Nelson and Davante Adams to really step up and answer the call in that way.
Yeah, I'm going to play off of that as well and continue a little bit of what we talked about earlier this week in reviewing the Lions game, and that is that you need to have some explosive plays on offense, and I think you need to have one, if not a couple of them, early in the ball game. You know, if that slant pass to Randall Cobb that he takes and goes 46 yards and gets the Packers into scoring position, if a play like that happens in the first quarter, I think you send a message to a pretty good Chicago Bears defense that, hey, you guys are going to have to be on your toes here. This young quarterback is coming along. This offense is getting more dangerous. And I think that's a message that the Packers have to try to send right from the get-go. And I don't care if it's Cobb or if it's Adams or Nelson or Lance Kendricks or whoever it is, but an explosive play on offense in the passing game early on, I think, can just change the whole complexion about how the opposing defense lines up and tries to play.
Well, and McCarthy was asked about this on Friday, too, of that last series and what they were able to get out of it. And in all intents and purposes, it was a garbage time series. It did not have an impact on the game, but in terms of being able to really get the offense moving the ball. And I thought that that was a really good illustration on that particular drive of what that can do in terms of building up momentum through the course of a play. Earlier in the fourth quarter, Randall Cobb's 46-yard catch, I mean, that's ultimately what set up that touchdown run for Brett Hundley. But
correct.
In that series, it was really just very methodical. And I really do, Mike, I mean, whether it is breaking tackles or not breaking tackles, whatever the opportunity is in front of a player, to be able to really capitalize on that, I think is going to be the biggest thing for this offense moving forward. Brett Hundley, it starts with him. He has to get the ball in his playmaker's hands. But from there, there's so much that can be generated off of that. I think that's one thing that the receivers have really stepped up in front of.
Yeah, we've talked so much all week about Brett Hundley, the perimeter weapons, the wide receivers trying to make those big plays. What's your take going into this game against this Chicago defense specifically on the role for Aaron Jones and for Ty Montgomery and how the Packers use them and you know what they can do to try to help Brett Hundley here as the Packers try to get this first victory with him?
Yeah, I want to see balance. They went very heavy with the run against the Saints, and then they backed off of that, went heavy with the pass against the Lions. I want to find that middle ground there because I think we've seen a lot of positive things out of the running game. They only had, I believe it was 11 or 12 designed runs in that contest against Detroit. But you saw early on, they had the read option going. I thought that could be a staple for them. We've seen what both Montgomery over the last 2 years and even Aaron Jones this year can do once they break that second level. This is going to be tough for this offensive line without Brian Bulaga, but I do believe Justin McCray, who by all accounts at this point in time will be playing in this game Sunday, I think he's done a fine job as a run blocker. I think he's done a great job of being able to open up holes with those fellow offensive linemen.
Yeah.
I really think that's going to be a starting point for them, getting that going and trying to get the run and pass to play off each other. You can't have too much of either. You can't have too little of either. Once they find that balance, like they did in 2013, I think that's what's ultimately going to allow them to turn this thing around.
Yeah, and I could be totally wrong here, Wes, but when I look at these last couple of games, the way Aaron Jones, you know, came out of the gate against New Orleans, had the big first series and the big run for a touchdown. Then we saw the way the Lions early on just were not going to let Aaron Jones get anything going early in that Monday night game. And with the Packers not really making a big play in the passing game downfield until the fourth quarter like we talked about, I think the Chicago Bears are going to be loaded up to stop Aaron Jones. And I think as – and this is why I've talked about needing to make a big play in the passing game early, because I think the Packers are going to have to use the downfield passing game to open up some running lanes for Montgomery and for Jones or whoever is in there at the time. I think it's sort of the reverse of the old adage. The Packers are going to have to pass the ball to set up the run, because they have to prove that they can make plays downfield on a consistent basis, and that hasn't happened yet.
Those first 15 plays at Soldier Field for the Packers, I think, are going to be imperative for them going forward, because it shows you, as Mike McCarthy has alluded to before, how the team has practiced throughout the course of the week, what their thought process is going into this game. And I'll be honest with you, if Vic Fangio does send those safeties up, if they do stack the box, you're right, you do need to start getting the passing game going.
Yeah.
I liked what I saw out of the Packers in that offense in that first series against Detroit. They
Absolutely.
Weren't able to get any points on the board because of the snap, but all things considered, I thought that was a positive first series. How they start this game against Chicago and how they really piggyback off of it on the second one is going to be the biggest indication of whether or not they can get that W at Soldier Field.
I think that's the key, is to piggyback, to build off of. The Packers have shown the opening drive they can get something going. They've done it in both of these starts of Brett Hundley's. They need to build on it from there, right from the get-go. With that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one. And Wes, continuing our discussion regarding keys to victory for the Packers against the Bears on Sunday at Soldier Field. Switching to the defensive side of the ball, where do you start?
I think it starts with the run defense.
All right.
And it starts with Jordan Howard. Packers have actually had a lot of really talented running backs on the schedule this year. Obviously, Zeke Elliott. I think New Orleans, although they didn't really have much of a name recognition there when they came into Lambeau Field, I think everybody's seeing how legit they are now with their run game, and Sean Payton talking about that was a point of emphasis for the Saints throughout the offseason. This is another stiff test. And
yep.
The nice thing for Green Bay is they're coming off arguably their best performance of the year. I know what the stats say about the Lions, but you still have to defend who's in front of you. And they were locked down. I thought the cornerbacks crashed well, a tip of the cap to Demaryius Randall and how he was able to set the edge as an extra defender. But now it ramps up a little bit. I think this is a deeper, better offensive line that what the Bears have established. And that running back is really a playmaker. In only his second season, I think him and also Cohen together, they're giving teams a lot of problems. And that's a testament to them too, Mike, because everybody knows what you're getting with Chicago right now.
Yep.
Everybody knows how you're going to defend them. Everybody knows you have to stop Howard to do anything. And they've still been productive despite that.
Yeah, they have been. But I'll say this, and I mentioned this on a show earlier this week as well. The Bears are coming off of their bye week.
Yep.
There can be some schematic changes, some tweaks, changes of emphasis, you might want to say, offensively. I'm not saying that they're going to go away from the run and all of a
right.
sudden Mitch Trubisky is going to throw 45 passes on Sunday afternoon at Soldier Field, but the Packers have to be ready for some potentially unscouted looks here from a rookie quarterback who's been being brought along slowly. He's had a couple of games, like I said, where he's only at roughly 100 yards passing. And, you know, there are going to be some things the Bears will do in this game that they have not done that are not on film. I am convinced
right.
of that.
Yeah, and it's going to be really interesting to watch. I've watched a lot of Bears football this year, I think mostly by happenstance. They are banged up at receiver. They're obviously banged up at tight end with losing Zach Miller.
Yeah.
The biggest issue, as much as Mike Glennon kind of got a bad rap during those first four games of the year, they weren't catching the ball, though. There was a lot of drops
yep.
that they had. So, I mean, it's going to be an interesting balance to see exactly if you do trust Trubisky and you want to air it out a little bit more, if you can trust his receivers to catch it and move the ball. I think that's a great point you make. It will be interesting to see, coming out of that bye week, what kind of unscouted looks they go with, and if they start to, you know, maybe air it out a little bit more with Trubisky. His last two games was 7 attempts and 32. So you try to tell me exactly what they're going to look like on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. And we heard from John Fox in a conference call earlier this week. He basically said, you know, there were times with Mike Glennon at quarterback, the offense was a turnover machine. They
right.
had to get away from that. That was part of the reason they turned it over to Trubisky, and also part of the reason they've gone to focusing that much more on the running game. You look at Trubisky in these four starts. He threw a bad interception in the fourth quarter of that Monday night game, his first start against Minnesota. It gave the Vikings a short field. They scored the winning points with that. But since then, he's only thrown one other interception. Now, there have been those games where he hasn't had that many pass attempts, but he's only thrown one interception in his last three games. So he's doing a better job protecting the ball. They're not turning it over as much. This is going to be a four-quarter test for the Packers' run defense. We talked about that, and I wrote about that on our website this week. The Packers are going to have to be prepared to defend the run for four quarters here because the Bears are going to stick to it. As much as they might do some new things and mix in some things with Trubisky, they're counting on the 3 and 4 yard runs that Jordan Howard gets in the first and second quarter to become 6 and 7 yard runs in the fourth quarter, and that's what the Packers have to watch out for.
Yeah, I thought, Mike, it was such a great observation on your part about how, I mean, statistically, I know what everything says about the Packers right now, but honestly, I still don't feel they're that far off from the top 10 run defense they were last year. They have great run defenders. I think Kenny Clark's having a heck of a season.
Yeah.
You know what? Blake Martinez is tackling everybody. I think, you know, Clay Matthews has been on point. Nick Perry's dealt with that hand injury, but otherwise is very solid in that capacity. But it does come down to the four quarters of football.
Yep.
I wonder if you get Ahmad Brooks back in this game and you start to get a little bit healthier at that linebacker position, you know, with, you know, Joe Thomas nearing a return as well. When you talk about four quarters of football, I wonder how much that could help to deepen out those rotations a little bit, get a few more guys involved, keep guys fresher, so that when it does come to the third and fourth quarter, you're not giving up those lapses.
Yeah, that's a good point. And when you also look at just where this Packers defense is coming off of the Detroit Lions game, they're going to have to get off the field on third down. That really is ultimately what it is. Yes, you need to stop the run. This is going to be a game, though, because of that Bears commitment to the running game. You're not necessarily going to have as many third and eights and third and tens like they had where Matthew Stafford is then. You know they're shotgun. They're going to throw the ball and all of that. This is going to be a game of a lot more third and twos, third and threes, third and fours because of the way the Bears are going to focus on that running game. And then, you know, when it's third and three, hey, anything is there in the playbook. They might run the ball, they might go play action, you know, bootleg, anything like that with Trubisky. So the Packers are going to they're going to have to find a way to get off the field on third down, but I think they're going to be facing some third down situations that are very different from what they faced on Monday night.
Absolutely, Mike. And Trubisky being a little bit more of a running quarterback, being a guy that can extend plays outside the pocket, I think that's what's going to make him very dangerous in the future is, you know, those rollouts and those play action type schemes. I'll also add this, though, too. Packers are in an interesting spot. I know you're not going to have Morgan Burnett in this one, but you do have Jake Ryan and you have Blake Martinez. This might be the type of game that calls for more base traditional defense, more base nickel defense. When they have those opportunities, Packers have to be able to defend out of those packages. They've done it well at times this season, but without having Burnett there as sort of that rover in the defense, it's going to be on those guys to really step their games up.
Yeah, some adjustments to make as the Packers go along here. With that, we're going to toss it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz over there. And Wes, I guess you can say, moving forward here with the Packers offense, the changing of the guard at tight end is official. Martellus Bennett is gone. And it's funny, as we've been in commercial breaks, we're checking our phones and looking at pictures of Bennett on the practice field for the New England Patriots already. I don't even want to begin to go down that rabbit hole, as we said. I mean, who knows what exactly is going on and how this is going to shake out. But as far as the Packers right now in 2017, the tight end position belongs to Lance Kendricks and Richard Rodgers. And these are two guys, veteran players. Rodgers obviously has been in this offense longer. Lance Kendricks, a proven veteran in his own right. These are guys who can help Brett Hundley in this passing game.
Yeah, unequivocally, Mike. Again, as you mentioned with the Bennett situation, those guys are being peppered with questions about that on Thursday. And for the most part, they both basically had the same answer. Don't really know what happened. Don't really care. The you know, Chicago Bears are days away.
Yeah. So if you're a player in the Packers locker room, you can't care about that. You have to care about the Chicago Bears and going to try to get a victory.
Yeah. If you want to piece together all the things later on, I'm sure that'll be dissected and analyzed for years to come. But the point is, right now, Packers need those two tight ends. Even Kendrick said, I mean, he hasn't been in a whole lot of situations where they've had only – he's been on a Rams team that's only had two tight ends that are active on the roster. That puts more on both of those guys' plates. Different types of football players. I think we've seen over the years what exactly, you know, Richard Rodgers offers with his hands, and obviously his consistency has not missed a game in his time with the Packers. And honestly, I look at Lance Kendricks, Mike, even though we are 8 games in the season, I still think there's an element of unknown with him and what exactly he can present to this offense.
That's a fair point.
Opportunities were limited a lot for these guys with how much Bennett played. Played 80% of the snaps in the first 7 games of the season. They basically were switching out and sharing time as the number 2 tight end. Kendricks has never been to the playoffs, much like Jared Cook a year ago. This dude is hungry. And he's hungry to show that he belongs in this offense. I think when you look at the boost that Jared Cook gave the Packers down the stretch last year, I don't see any reason why Kendricks can't be that guy this season.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. I'm really interested and very curious to see how Lance Kendricks, his involvement in this offense now evolves with just getting more opportunities and more snaps. Because you said it, Martellus Bennett was the dominant tight end for the first half of the season. He played 80% of the snaps. Lance Kendricks has made his share of splash plays here and there. We saw the big catch and run against the Bengals. We saw one against the Dallas Cowboys, if I recall. There was a nice catch over the middle this last Monday night against the Detroit Lions. Those plays are there for Lance Kendricks. He's going to be called on. He's going to be called upon to make them more often. And I'm really interested to see how much, you know, maybe Brett Hundley starts to look to him.
And there's going to be a part of that they're going to miss with Bennett as a blocker. But I'll be honest with you, Mike. Kendricks has been their most explosive tight end this year. He's only had 130-some offensive snaps this year. You give him more opportunities in the seam and down the field, I think it really could help this offense and Brett Hundley moving forward.
Yeah, and as Mike McCarthy talked about, you have to be careful with using both of these tight ends as far as like two tight end packages when you've only got the two on the roster right now. You know, you don't want to put yourself in too much danger of getting any thinner there. But with that, Wes, let's take care of a little sponsor business. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 11 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/bestseats. Cousin Sub's, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment of the week, we take a look at some other games going on around the NFL and in particular around the NFC as it relates to the playoff picture. The Minnesota Vikings leading the NFC North at 6-2. They go on the road to Washington, D.C. to face the Redskins. Certainly a tough road game for Minnesota. And if Washington is able to pull this game out, suddenly you're looking at both the Lions, who are at home against Cleveland, and the Packers, being on the road in Chicago, would both have an opportunity to pull back within one game of the division lead. This weekend could end with Minnesota at 6-3 and the Lions and or the Packers at 5-4, and the division looks totally different.
Really quickly, just to pat myself on the back, I don't know if you saw this week, Sam Bradford to injured reserve. I think about 2 months ago I was talking about how he just did not look right and like a guy that actually had a healthy knee. But that being said, Teddy Bridgewater is back now for the Vikings. Very curious to see how they proceed with that position. For Washington, this is a big matchup because you have them and you have Dallas now who are trying to kind of stay within vision of the Eagles. The Eagles are kind of like that guy running the 4-minute mile, and you're just sort of trying to stay within reach of him to see if he's going to end up fading a little bit. They have the talent there. Offensively, I thought they were going to have a better season than they've had. But having the Vikings at home, I think, is going to be big for them. And then, obviously, you have the Lions hosting the Browns. So you're going to get what you get there. But for the Vikings, this is definitely a big week as well, trying to get a win on the road during this big road stretch.
Yeah, and Washington, interesting that a couple weeks ago they lost at home to the Dallas Cowboys, but then they go on the road across the country and win a game right at the buzzer, so to speak, against the Seattle Seahawks. So just where Washington is in its season, this is a big game for them as well. And then speaking of the Cowboys, they are on the road at Atlanta.
That's correct.
Again, two teams that trying to stay within shouting distance of the division leaders in those respective divisions. Atlanta here 4-4, the defending NFC champion, in danger of dropping below 500 with both the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints right now on top of the NFC South. This is an awfully big game for the Atlanta Falcons.
This is, I think, as big as a Week 10 matchup can get for both of these teams. To be honest with you, Mike, it's very startling to me. You're either going to have the Falcons at 4-9, or you're going to have the Cowboys with 4 losses and the Falcons with 4 losses. 10 weeks into the season, 9 games into the season, with how dominant both of those teams were for a majority of last season.
Yeah, for last
very
year.
Very surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of them has to pick up a W here. If you're the Falcons, you have to defend your home turf. They have this new stadium. They've had their issues in it. You have to be able to take advantage of that. From the Cowboys' perspective, I don't know what's going to happen with Zeke Elliott. Same thing as every week. But if you don't have him, Alfred Morris is a comparable, capable running back. You have to find a way to build that offense around him. So it's going to be very interesting to watch how those two teams respond to this.
Yeah, when you look at the NFC West, we saw the Seattle Seahawks get a victory on Thursday Night Football over Arizona, but a costly one in losing star cornerback Richard Sherman for the rest of the season to an Achilles injury. The Los Angeles Rams having a home game this week against the Houston Texans with a chance to go 7-2 with a victory. And who would have thought that when the Rams came to Lambeau Field in the preseason back in August? Who would have thought the Rams would be looking at possibly 7-2 right now?
Sean McVay, the quarterback whisperer, Jared Goff has looked like a stud this year, and that team is rolling. I mean, we're going to have to see how the Texans respond to this, but I mean, I've been incredibly impressed by how Goff has responded in year two.
Yeah, a very impressive player, no doubt about it. But with that, we will call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers. For the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. See you next time.